Stocks are crashing and investors are panicking. Is this the end of the bull market? I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as tech stocks and small caps are nosediving, sending investors into a frenzy and a panic wondering if the bull market is over. And those same investors have been driving interest rates higher and championing the Fed into a tightening cycle as they believe that combination would lead to 2 to 3 more years of strong equity returns. But with stocks headed lower, now investors are wondering, should they flee to cash? Is this just a correction? What should they do? Well, let's pick this story up with Bloomberg, who headlines the NASDAQ 100's unrelenting drops ring a dot-com bust alarm bell. The tech-heavy gauge was down at least 1% every day over the week, and that is an ominous signal for the market. To wit, the NASDAQ 100 just did something it hasn't done since the aftermath of the internet bubble, fall more than 1% in every session of a week. It doesn't count as a superb because Monday was a holiday. But for investors caught up in the sell-off, it felt like something shifted. A full week of big down days hasn't happened since the dot-com bubble burst, first in April 2000 and then in September 2001. Back then, the NASDAQ went on to fall another 28% before the market bottomed roughly a year later. And if you just look at those two prior instances, right after 9/11 was a brutal market, while the other was the first leg down in the collapse of the tech bubble, says George Perklis, a strategist at Bespoke Investment Group. Quote, it's certainly ominous, isn't it? And that is a question because investors have been so used to now stocks only going up. And we've been hearing that we're at the bottom of a generational bull market. But yet out of nowhere, despite claims that higher interest rates and tighter monetary policy will lead to higher stock prices, they're headed lower, as many wondering what the heck is just going on. And the NASDAQ 100 tumbled 7.5% this week as what started as an aggressive sell-off and speculative corner spread to the rest of the market. Disappointing results from pandemic darlings like Netflix accentuated investor angst that is, as the economy recovers, tech's growth edge is disappearing. Add that to stretch valuations, which we've talked about on the show, there was room for a pullback. And maybe that's all this is. Down almost 12% in January, the NASDAQ 100 is on course for its worst month since the 2008 global financial crisis. On any four-day basis, the current streak of 1% drops was the first since 2018. The last hour selling and the consistent selling each day does seem like institutions are done being patient and rushing to get out, said Chris Murphy, co-head of derivative strategist. And if there's any kind of liquidation underway here, you have to wonder how much further things could fall, says Perks at Bespoke. On the other hand, this sort of pervasive negativity and selling is what contrarians look for as a sign that sentiment has gotten carried away to the downside. And when sentiment gets carried away to one direction or another, well, usually you see in this case what would be a bottom, or on the other direction, a top. But let's continue the story because something else has shifted, and it's not just stocks. It's the bond market. And global bonds rally amid deepening tech sell-off and Russian tensions. The U.S. 10-year yield on track for the biggest decline this year after having one of its biggest increases this year. Global bonds set for the worst January since 2009 on hike bets. The quote, the treasury market is reacting to equities. We saw an ugly close for European equities, and the NASDAQ is down 10% plus this year, says Gregory Farinello, the head of U.S. rates trading at Amerivet Securities. And I want you to keep that in mind, this relationship between stocks and treasury yields. And there's a strong one, is that treasury yields tend to lead stocks lower. In fact, when you see a flight to safety, where do people go? They go to the bond market, a risk-free area where you can hold on to your money. And it's important when you think about this from a hedging perspective and why this always happens. But let's continue on. We'll get into that more in a little bit. Quote, treasuries have been repriced sharply higher this year, and now they are providing some offset to declining equities, he added. Quote, heading into the Fed meeting next week, the 10-year is at 1.75%, is a market that looks better balanced. Well, let's take a look at where this could be going, because the 30-year bond yield fell 4.5 basis points to 2.07% and extended its retreat from Tuesday's peak of 2.2% as equities remained under pressure. Portfolio managers tend to hold long-dated treasuries to help offset periods of stumbling equity performance. And the question you should ask yourself is, why do they do that, or why do they make that shift? Now, for most managers, that shift is late. But if you're looking at hedging your portfolio in terms of upside performance, well, you got more bang for your buck at the long end than you do the short end. And we'll get into this a little bit more, because when you really understand what the bond market does is when interest rates go down, it tells you that growth and inflation expectations are falling. Well, what do stocks going down tell you? Well, tell you the same thing. Let's keep going, because we'll head over to the Wall Street Journal, who headlines the NASDAQ. S&P finished the worst week since the pandemic onset as oil cryptocurrencies drop and investors register a disappointing results from Netflix and Peloton. And I want to add here that if you've ever taken the time to look at Portfolio Shield and you see that why you don't have to deal with all these risks in your portfolio, that you just got a little bit of a snippet of what makes it so special. So if you haven't taken the time to check it out and you're worried about these risks, well, stop doing that. Check out Portfolio Shield. You'll be glad you did. Now, let's get back to this Wall Street Journal story, because U.S. stocks fell for the third straight week, continuing their slide to start 2022 with investors worried about the prospect of higher interest rates and their effect on valuation. Suddenly, those higher interest rates that investors wanted, well, now that's a problem. Investors largely expected the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates several times this year to combat inflation, which has weighed on stocks. And last week, the Fed Chair Jerome Powell called rapid inflation a severe threat to a full economic recovery. And data showed that consumer prices soared to about a four-decade high in December. Even with the hikes, interest rates will remain near historic lows, which investors hope will buoy markets. Now, if you don't understand why inflation is such a problem, it's because those who don't have as much now have even less. And when those people are huge contributors to the economy, because they tend to spend 100% of their paycheck. And the economy needs them. And with high inflation, well, their dollar goes a lot less further. And the economy, well, it goes down with them. All right, let's keep going, because investors' bets on higher, on faster rate increases have driven up inflation-linked bond yields, as seen in benchmark for financing costs. In fact, the yield on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note edged down 1.747 from 1.833 on Thursday. And why does that matter? Well, because what it's telling you is that financial conditions are tightening. And here you can see the last rate increase actually led to lower treasury yields. So when you think of it from a portfolio hedging perspective, those who were hedging with long-term bonds, well, they made a real smart decision. And it wasn't until those rate hikes actually turned out to not be so bad and the economy started to grow again that those bonds went down in value, but they functioned and did their job as a hedge. And this is important, because the question we should be asking is, could we see a bigger turn down in the markets? Well, at some point we will. And I don't know if this was the catalyst or if this is just a short-term move. But one thing we do have to keep in mind is that investors have borrowed an insane amount of money in terms of what's called margin debt, borrowing against their stocks to buy more stocks. And historically, when that happens, the margin debt eventually gets flushed down, and we see that going into every recession, and stock prices go down with it. And of course, this is a question, of course, is your portfolio designed to handle that or not? And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but let's keep going with some of the risks we see, because we already knew the risks of the equity market were to the downside. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey told us this, and we've talked about this during the show, is that when sentiment goes down, well, usually stock prices go down, because when sentiment drops, what happens to spending? It goes down. And what happens to spending when there's high inflation? It goes down even more. And what happens to earnings and profits and all those things under those conditions? Hey, you're right. They go down even more. Let's keep going. Because this leaves investors wondering, where's that Fed put as scorched dip buyers confront the market's new reality? After the NASDAQ 100's worst week since March 2020, says Bloomberg, investors are wondering what it would take for the Federal Reserve Chairman to reprise his unofficial role as market savior. But the bar is now clearly higher, with the economy running hot, consumer prices surging the most in four decades, and President Joe Biden saying it's Powell's job to tamp them down. So keep in mind, the Fed has been called out to deal with this. So investors who are hoping the Fed is going to back off its positions, well, maybe they're going to be wrong, because the Fed is unlikely to change until they bring inflation down. And that's critical, because that means the Fed is not going to bail out the markets this time, or at least I don't think they will. Let's keep going, because the Fed may not at all be concerned about some air leaking from stretched tech stock valuations, said Credit Suisse Group's AG rate strategist Jonathan Cohen in a note. A broader, more disruptive self would likely be needed to materially impact the direction of monetary policy. And what will lower stock prices do to consumption? Well, it'll go down, because when people feel less wealthy, Well, they tend to spend less. So that issue that Powell wanted to deal with in terms of demand and balancing demand to supply, well, lower stock prices will actually help him on his goal and means he doesn't have to tighten nearly as far as everyone thinks he might. The policy now is decisively geared toward fighting inflation that reached 7% annually at the end of 2021. With labor markets showing signs of tightening, the Fed has signaled it intends to move swiftly to push price gains back toward its 2% target. Republicans and Democrats have expressed concern that the Fed has been overstimulating the economy, and Biden's comments that the central bank should target inflation suggest politicians can live with some of the market pain. Because remember, inflation is a big issue for politicians, because when it comes to votes, well, people aren't voting based on the market. They're voting based on their spending power, and politicians face being voted out of office during high inflation. Happens every time. And any Fed reaction to the market might be different now than in 2018 and 2019, when inflation was stubbornly low and growth maddeningly slow. Fed tightening had markets reacting to the impact on an already shaky economy. Now the Fed is running crisis-era policy at a time of roaring growth and excessive price gains, forcing a hawkish turn that isn't as big of a threat to the economy. And of course, financial conditions will continue to tighten, as I mentioned. In other words, decline, my buddy Peter Buchvard, the chief investment officer at Bleakley Advisory, said. That's the trillion-dollar question. What's the strike price of the Fed put? Will they come to the rescue? Well, I don't think they will. And as an investor, this is where you should ask yourself, is your strategy, is your investment portfolio, is your money manager doing the job you needed to do? And before things get worse, maybe this is a time to sit down and ask yourself, where are you as an investor? Are you short-term or long-term? And if you're a long-term investor, take the time to look at your portfolio, see how your manager's doing, because if things get worse, you want to make sure they're doing a good job of hedging. And if not, maybe that's your catalyst to make a change. And with that, I'm Steve Van Meter. I appreciate you being fans. Appreciate you watching. We'll see you soon. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only. It's not intended to provide different other advice. The show will have to be construed as a recognition or solicitation by our selling security friends with instrument or participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter, personal capacity, business expressive video that do not affect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.